Again, we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, for the Lord to speak to us this evening and feed his sheep. Again, keep it open, please. We'll look at some sections of 11 and 12 as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. This is, I'm looking at this as a sermon to work with the sermon this morning about not living in fear. And we can't think about not living in fear in a vacuum. It needs to be coupled with living by faith. And so we think about that in chapter 10, verse 38 of the letter to the Hebrews. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let me read that again. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And we particularly have in view the first part, now the just shall live by faith. We want to remember what sanctification is, this growing in grace in the Lord. Sanctification involves two things primarily, simply. The killing of our old self, the mortification of the old. And that has to happen first, but in terms of how we are working in our growth. But the other aspect, just as important, is the vivifying of the new. The vivifying of the new. Or Paul talks about it in Romans and Ephesians, I believe also in Colossians, as the putting off of the old man, but also the putting on the new man. And Paul says in Romans, the putting on of the new man, that is putting on Christ. And so we want to think about our sermon this evening related, our text this evening related to the morning text. In the morning was 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. We don't have the spirit of fear, so we need to put off fear. That is, we need to mortify fear. But we have got to follow that up this evening with our scripture this evening and those like it, Hebrews 10:38. Fuel faith. Mortify fear, but also fuel faith. You see, the antidote to fear is faith. Faith removes fear. Faith replaces fear. If you clean the room empty of fear, if you think of things Christ has said elsewhere, if you just clean the room, but you don't fill it with faith, fear is sure to return. Fear is sure to return with a vengeance and take over. Beloved, don't think about getting rid of fear without faith. When Jesus is about to calm the stormy sea that had the disciples afraid for their lives, he says in Matthew 8, verse 26, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" So you see the contrast here, but also therefore the connection. The absence of the latter, the absence of fear, is the cause of the former. It's the reason, the absence of faith is the cause of the former. It's the reason we have fear. You have little faith, that's why you have fear. He's making the connection. Thus, beloved, increasing faith is the way to force out fear and be filled up with courage. Indeed, let's not be letting fear take over our lives. But to do that, we've got to be growing in faith. And so often we just default to fear because we're not exercising our faith. We're not growing in faith. We're not trusting and we're not believing. And we wonder why fear takes over so quickly. We looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 this morning, and Paul there urges Timothy to stir up the gifts of God in him for the ministry because of the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind that was put into him so that there would be no room for fear. But Paul says something he knows about Timothy a little earlier. He had already noted something else that had taken place in Timothy, that had taken the place of fear in Timothy. And what was it? Faith. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith." That means you're not faking it. Real faith that is in thee. He goes on to say, you don't have a spirit of fear because you have faith. I call you to remember the faith that you have. Exercise it and grow it to keep out fear and to conquer it. You see, faith looks and leans ahead. It doesn't fall backwards in fear. Sincere trust in God follows after Jesus. It doesn't go somewhere else. It doesn't say, well, I got to take care of this. I got to do that. I'm not sure what so-and-so would think. I'm not sure I'm ready to count the cost. Beloved, he calls us to count the cost. And we're too afraid to lose the littlest things to move forward as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. I've already seen fear in your faces with an announcement today. Replace it with faith. Replace it with belief and trust in God. Or it's going to come right back and take you over. Faith, sincere faith, follows after Jesus. It does not draw back. See, that's what he says in our text this evening. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, he's saying, I don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need people that draw back in fear all the time. We can't accomplish anything together like that. Cowards cannot conquer anything. And there's a reason from Old to New Testament that God is constantly challenging us not to be afraid and to replace it with fear. He says, don't draw back in fear. The just live by faith. They don't die in fear. They live in faith. They walk forward in faith. They quit themselves like men. They go out to battle and they expect to win. And they're not worried about earthly things that will cause them from being able to do that. Hebrews chapter 12, let those things be let down that so easily beset your walk and run for faith in Christ. Don't draw back. What is it to draw back? It's like putting your foot out, stepping forward over a bridge that's going to get you over a cavern. But then, you know, you go, no. And then wrapping your legs and arms around a tree. You go first. Tell me what's like on the other side. Drawing back is like backing out of your driveway to begin learning how to drive and then immediately putting it into forward, rolling right back into the garage as the garage door goes down behind you and you run back into the house. Well, what was the point of that? Verse 39 of chapter 10. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Notice this drawback is this idea of fear and a lack of faith in both 38 and 39. And the antidote, the way we should be, the way we grow and succeed for the Lord is faith, or in verse 39, belief. Belief. We do not draw back. We're not like that. We need to say that together as one another. We are not those who draw back to perdition. We are not those who go right back to fear. We are not going to be dogs that go back to their vomit because we are familiar with the sense and the smell of fear. And it provides some nourishment, I guess. We're not going to be like that. We do not draw back to the devil's ruinous, tormenting ways of fear. We move onward by believing in Jesus and that we can do all things in him. We get rid of fear and substitute it with faith. Those who make progress for Christ and his kingdom are not paralyzed by fear because they move forward by faith. That's the main idea of this verse I give to you tonight. Those who make progress for Christ and his kingdom are not paralyzed by fear because they move forward by faith. Yes, we live by faith and not by works. And when Paul says elsewhere, Romans 1:7 and Galatians 3:11, quoting Habakkuk 2 verse 4 more directly, the Old Testament minor prophet, the point in those contexts is particularly, we are not saved by works. We're saved by faith. We are not made, we're not living. We don't have eternal life by works. We have it by faith, indeed. But here, to live by faith is not so much about being given eternal life, but in living out that life that's been given to you while you're on earth, by moving through and beyond fear. Because we're in the world and we're not of it. Because the world is against us and will always try to stop us. Because Satan is constantly flinging arrows at us. And if you were so encouraged this morning, as I'm thankful and I was, to be taught not to fear, how many arrows do you think that Satan already had in the air at you and me? Because if you don't replace it with faith, it is going to just come right back. It'll be an empty excitement this morning if there's no fear and faith behind it to move forward and instead draw back with no good reason except I'm afraid. And that's not a good reason. Here, to live by faith is about living out that life, moving through and beyond fear, as they all did in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Though they had to face and endure and conquer many difficulties, even some of them had to go through death itself. Some of them were sawed in half. Their bodies were sawed in half. Some of them had to be martyrs for the faith, like faithful Antipas in the Revelation. But because we have faith, we know that's not the end of it. It's the beginning of it. Even in our death, we are more than conquerors. We go right to heaven. Satan doesn't get us. And then we're raised from the dead. Notice all through Hebrews 11, all these different people of the faith are said that they did this, they did that, they accomplished this, they accomplished that, they denied themselves this, they waited for that. By what? Faith. Faith. The refrain is what? All through Hebrews 11, by faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did this. And if you and I would stop and remember their contexts, you and I would surely need faith also. By faith, by faith, by faith. Let's look at one of those examples in chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. We'll look at one of the things he highlights about Moses. Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 27, and I want you to particularly pay attention to verse 27 and notice again the contrast there. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do you see God who is invisible? Faith. As he reveals himself in the scriptures particularly. As he reveals himself by the Spirit in these things particularly. But it's by faith. It's trusting those things that you can't see. The beginning of the chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is trusting in what you can't see, but you act on it because you know it's true, because God is true and every man a liar. And we have this hall of faith, this cloud of witnesses giving us the example to follow after in following Jesus. Notice verse 27, Moses did these things. He denied himself the authority. He denied himself all the prosperity of being acknowledged to be with Pharaoh. He denies himself to be rich. He doesn't want the pleasures of the world. He doesn't want to lose out on the eternal kingdom. He doesn't want to lose out on fellowship with his Hebrew brothers forever in Christ. So he puts it all away, but that takes getting rid of fear, doesn't it? That takes courage. That takes faith. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Do you see the contrast there again? He had faith, thus he did not fear. And notice, so often the fear is of a man, is of a person, is of a community, instead of proper reverent fear of God. But because he did not allow himself to fear man, therefore he, by faith, was obedient to God's call to minister. Faith is not a feeling. God help us all if faith is a feeling. Faith is a choice. Indeed, it is a gift of God, and it is not dependent on our circumstances. It is not dependent on our emotions. It is dependent upon God and his faithfulness. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. Faith is alive and active. Faith conquers the fear of men because faith is trusting and believing God. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. All the promises of God are yea and amen. They're all true. Now that does require that we exercise our faith and feed it by what? Studying the Bible. How many of us are so fearful and have so little faith because we barely open our Bibles? Because we barely study our Bibles? Because we barely read God's Word, so we don't remember his promises, let alone know them, let alone give ourselves to be reminded of them and blessed by them? You have to know what God's promises are to be able to say yea and amen to them. So faith has its object of Christ as he has revealed himself in his word with all his promises. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12. So the end of chapter 10 says, the just live by faith. Don't draw back in fear. And then we're given chapter 11 with all these examples to follow and encourage us. All these examples where they easily could have drawn back in fear. And if they did, there'd be no church and there'd be no Messiah. And so then we get to chapter 12. The application of chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, fear will cause you to faint. Fear will cause you to quit. Fear will cause you not to step forward. Fear will cause you to draw back right at the beginning of attempting to step forward. Faith in Christ will move you across the finish line with Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look with me now to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I trust you all want to read the Bible with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is with us, who can be against us? Christ says he'll never leave us. The Lord is our helper, so we can say, how can we say it? Boldly. Not cowardly. Not half-heartedly. Boldly, so that when we look to our sides, we don't find our brothers and sisters no longer there because they're running back into their pews to hide behind the doors of the church. Boldly, we say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. And it is the fear of man that destroys our faith in God, and therefore destroys our obedience and causes us to do nothing. We were talking, a number of us, this morning after the service about we don't have the spirit of fear in us. God hasn't put that there. We talked about, you know, it's interesting to consider that Satan doesn't really even need us to get us to do anything very wicked or evil, does he? All he has to do is what? Get us to do nothing. Stick our heads in the sand. All he has to do is make us afraid so we do nothing. Some of you have also said, related to that, it's often been said, evil men prosper when good men do nothing. And good men do nothing when they are afraid. Good men, just men, will not take risks, reasonable risks. They won't count the cost because they don't want any cost. Because they're afraid. Because they have the fear of the world and the love of the world. And not trust in God. And not a love for the kingdom of heaven. Moses, I don't need any of these riches. Take them all. I forsake them all to be in Christ's church and to lead it. Because I've inherited the kingdom of heaven, and I'm not going to forsake that birthright for a little bit of porridge on this earth, which is all anything any of us have. How many zeros fall after it? That's all it is, porridge. And if that's the birthright we're passing on to others, God help our children. If it isn't faith that we're passing on to them instead and teaching them to be willing to sacrifice and die for the Lord Jesus, let alone live for him with faith. You can choose not to fear whatever can be done to you, just as you sang in Psalm 56, verse 3 this morning. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Beloved, have that memorized. I'm endeavoring to do that. Have that memorized with 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 from this morning. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And every time you're feeling afraid, you cast out that demonic influence of fear and you replace it with faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will have faith. Increase my faith, O Lord. Help thou my unbelief. Further, Psalm 56, verses 4 and 11 say, when David does that, in God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Notice he's not saying, I don't believe they can do anything unto me. He just says, I won't be afraid of it. They can string me up. They can bury me alive. They can cut my head off like John the Baptist, but I won't be afraid. Because I'm dead to this world. I'm crucified to it in Christ. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It isn't that people can't do horrific things. That's the context of Psalm 56. But the difference is I don't have to be afraid of it anymore. Because I have faith in God. And I trust him to deliver me through it, not around it. And through it because of what he's going to do for me and the church in and with it. Like Joseph. The saving of many souls. Notice, replacing fear with faith is a conscious choice. He says, I will praise him. I have put my trust in him. I will not fear. This is a choice. This is a volitional decision. As Mr. Huffmaster used to say here often, the wills, the I wills, become I do's. You're never going to do anything if you don't start with I will. You're never going to stop being afraid if you don't say, I will not be afraid. You're never going to grow in faith if you will not say, I will trust in God. So say it and mean it that you and I would do it. Because faith, my Bible says, can move mountains. My Bible says, by faith you are healed. My Bible says that by faith you can grow into an amazing thing that provides shade and refuge for many others. And Hebrews 11 says, among a lot of other things, let me highlight a few. Through faith are you saved. By faith you do not see death. By faith you can build an ark. By faith, you can go where God calls you without even knowing where you're going. And when you get there, you can be happy to sojourn there and die there with only a burial plot as your inheritance because you're waiting for something better. I mean, how we hold on to our possessions in this world to the very day we die. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, you can have babies, even when it seems impossible. By faith, you can tear down walls. By faith, you can stop the mouth of lions. By faith, you can quench the flaming fire. Do you believe this? This is the word of God. Do you believe it? Do you have faith? By faith, and the trying of your faith, we know God will work patience in you. By faith, the scriptures say, you stand. By faith, you endure. By faith, you make progress, pilgrim, all the way to the celestial city. Not by fear. Remember all those who didn't make it all the way. Make the choice. Ask Jesus to increase your faith and help your unbelief so you don't draw back, but move ever onward, Christian soldiers. By faith and God's grace, we can move on and grow together. And all the ways your session is endeavoring to lead you. And trust me, we spend a lot of time in devotions in our session meetings to overcome our fear, to lead you in faith, including our fear of you if you don't like our leadership, but we think it's from God. Will you follow Jesus in faith? Because if we can't move together in faith, then we should not be surprised when we close the doors in fear and never open them again. Don't live in fear. Live by faith. Don't live in fear. Live by faith. And don't get excited about the morning sermon and not apply the evening one, or it will be empty of what you need to move forward. Don't live in fear. How do you do that? Live by faith. Well, this morning I said amen, and you said amen. I say to you this evening, live by faith. Amen? Amen? I'm going to hold you to it, brethren. You hold me to it, too. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do thank you for your call upon our lives and your call not only to a lack of fear, but to action and faith and belief. Lord, help us to move mountains. Help us to move mountains. Lord, fill us with faith. Increase our faith. Help thou our unbelief. Set our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us run and not grow weary. Let us walk and not faint. Let us cast aside all the things we are afraid to let go of that will only drag us down and cause us to draw back. Let us offer up our sacrifices unto you, count the costs, and follow you into the Jordan, trusting as we step out in faith, you will part the waters and you will get us to the other side. And whatever sacrifices we might need to give up is nothing compared to those we've read about in Hebrews 11. Oh Lord, let us prove our faith. Let us show our faith by investing in the kingdom, whatever that takes. Lord God, what it takes mostly is to abandon fear. So, Lord, embolden our hearts. Give us courage. Help us to walk the straight and narrow. Help us to follow after you, though the thousands abandon you. When you say, follow me, help us to drop everything and to follow you. Let us take up our cross and follow you. Let us die to ourselves daily and live for you. Let us have confidence in you. Let us believe what you say. Let us trust and obey your commands. Let us more deeply internalize the reality that you are with us and you will never forsake us. And you indeed are working all things together for our good. For we who love you, called according to your purpose, to conform us to the image of your Son. And let us be satisfied with nothing less. And let us end our days holding up the banner of Jesus Christ, making war with this world, advancing the kingdom and growing the church and teaching our children to do the same and to be willing to sacrifice all for you. Let us be an example to our children of courage and faith and belief. And let us be encouraged that even if we start with the size of a mustard seed or a little tiny leaven, that it cannot work itself out and have enormous influence. Oh Lord, we do thank you for this call, and we pray indeed that you will grow us in faith, that we will not live in fear, but that we will live by this faith. And we do thank you for it, this gift from you. And we pray in Jesus' name, all your people saying truly, that is, Amen.